Delightful to be back at APHA. My name is Mark Rodwin, and I'm going to talk about speed bumps or obstacles to making use of this data, because unfortunately there are some challenges to getting this information available. I have at the back of the room a few reprints on this of a couple articles, if any of you are interested, and I'd be glad to how do I advance it? Put return?
Forward arrow.
No. Something's not working. Can we get it again?
Where do we want to go? Forward or
start.
Backwards? Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
There we go. And if you anyone sends me an email, I'd be glad to send you reprints. Now, which do I click just to move one slide?
This arrow.
Okay.
To the right. That's the only one you have to do.
So there's great potential from data from patient records, anonymized data aggregated into a database. And I won't say much on this because I think you know all about this, but ask questions if you don't. But basically for epidemiology, for drug safety, for others, for monitoring health systems, evaluating health plans, and the like. The problem is that getting this data in an aggregate database. And a lot of this has to do with property law and the politics of possession of data. Now, it turns out that if you look at the current legal arrangements and status of data, this data is not privately owned in a classic sense. But there's a group of people out there, namely those who want to make money off of it and who have possession of it, that are trying to turn it into a kind of private property. If you look at current law, there's real clarity that the record, the paper record, is private property. It's owned by doctors or hospitals or providers. But even though it's private, patients, insurers, and others have access to this information. They don't own the data, even though they may own the physical record. And of course, even when they own a physical record and people have access to it, there are limits on use of this data through privacy law. Now, when you move to electronic medical records, you have a new paradigm and new issues. First of all, you don't really have to decide if someone owns it. It doesn't have to be exclusively owned by one source in the way, say, a paper record does, because the data could be not owned. It could be public. It could be used from multiple sources by multiple parties. And so the question is, will it be treated as private property, this data, or not? Now, that brings me to the status of data, compilations of data. And you might think that if someone aggregated data because they worked on it, they own it as a matter of intellectual property. But in fact, that's not the case. Compilers of data don't have intellectual property rights in it. You put together names in a phone book, you may own the page, and someone can't photocopy it, but they can take that information and use it as they want. And intellectual property law really protects only original inventions or creations, not aggregations. What's happened is people out there who have access to data, say providers, hospital systems, insurance, are promoting its treatment as private property. And the conventional wisdom says that it's better to treat it that way because supposedly a market is needed to generate the data. But there are a number of fallacies there. Just to give you a sense of who's saying this, the Heritage Foundation says that government authorities should have to purchase patient data on the same terms as all other parties, that they shouldn't have privileged access. And the Markle Foundation, which put together reports on Connecting for Health, says that providers treat them as highly proprietary assets. It serves a means to differentiate themselves from the competition. AMIA, American Medical Information, what's the ACE for? Association, advocated that there be voluntary guidelines for use of this data and stewardship and shared access. But basically they talk about stakeholders. And when they name stakeholders, they never talk about public authorities as the stakeholders. They talk about provider organizations, service providers, insurers, and the like. And those are their members, and those are the ones that want to control it. The problem is letting it up to stakeholders voluntarily is that it's going to reflect their private economic interests, I argue. And they want to sell this data, and they want to share it on limited terms. Just to give an example, IMS, one of the great collectors of medical records, the last I checked about 5-6 years ago, they were making about $2 billion a year selling data. And other groups are trying to get a piece of the action. The current commercial practice is that organizations that have data, be they big or small, would like to sell it aggregate basis. And they engage in contracts, and they, to the extent they have data, they try to make it private property by putting it into software forms that are hard to distribute to others. And by the way, these are not only for-profit commercial firms. Harvard Partners is trying to sell their data. And one of the things that comes out is when the state of Massachusetts wanted to release a public database of data, they were one of the groups that objected because it competed with their being able to sell it as opposed to making this data available. So a lot of organizations out there, and sometimes they use the argument from privacy, and I think I'll have time to talk about that, but I think that's a red herring, that the privacy issues are the same whether it's publicly or privately owned. So my thesis is, if we treat patient data as private property, it will preclude forming aggregate databases, which are the ones that are the most valuable and needed to develop public health uses, because a small fractured database doesn't have the power of a small one. You might work with small ones if that's all you have, but the ideal is to have larger databases. A second prong of my thesis is that private ownership is going to allow monopolies that will limit competition in this market, the secondary market, that makes use of this data. Because, in fact, the data itself is not that valuable. It's what you do with it. So you need that data to do your analysis, to put it into a software, but you really have to work it. But if there's only one source, namely the private provider of the data, they can charge a premium on the price, or they can only sell the analysis. Whereas if this access is public, you can have 20, 30, 50, 100 groups competing over price for different services. And that's one of the problems of making it privately controlled and owned as opposed to public. So again, I'll skip on the... So how do we make it public? Well, one, we require reporting of anonymized patient data. And in fact, some of this is already being done. The state of California already requires hospitals' discharge data to be recorded. Maybe that's the easiest. There are issues if you have individual providers. But the point is you can have public reporting requirements. And once that becomes then available to public authorities, first they can institute measures to try to keep it private, de-anonymize it, de-identify it. But you can then use that and make it available to private parties for their own analysis. Now, the question is, well, why can't we just do it through the private sector? This is the United States, and we like private sector solutions, so why don't we go that way? And so there are a couple arguments I want to make. First, the traditional arguments for private ownership don't apply here. Usually people say you really need to have things privately owned to give people an incentive to invest. Otherwise, they won't do it, right? Why else? This is the classic intellectual property argument. Why else would you take the time to make an invention if you can't tap it? But this data is already generated. We're not paying people to generate it. Doctors have to report it. They have no option to. It's required for accreditation. It's for patient records. And they're going to continue to do it whether they own it and can commercialize it or not. But in fact, if you make it private, it's going to mean that it's fractured and not as much of it is collected. And the greatest value of this is the more that's collected, because you have network effects, and you're not going to have those as big as network effects if it's small databases. The other thing is it's much more efficient to have it publicly collected and owned as opposed to having hundreds or thousands of sources of different databases if you want to get a population-wide base. Now, in theory, the private sector could do this through the market, but the point is it may be more profitable not to sell the data. It may be that people don't want to sell the data to protect themselves, there's a lot of precedent for this. I'll give a couple of examples. And secondly, to the extent that a market will generate data, it's going to focus on what's most profitable, not what's least profitable, and then you're going to get it much harder to collect the other data that might be valuable if a lot of the most commercially sellable data is collected. You also have problems with stability if you rely on the private sector. One of my favorite data sources was the American Medical Association data on physician practices. They collected data on income, practice, malpractice, premiums, thousands of things, and the federal government and others used it. It's quite authoritative. But they stopped in 2000 after doing it for 30 years. And we continue to go back to their 2000 data and extrapolate the last I saw. And this can happen with other data. And you don't want to rely on the flukes of private organizations or markets of whether it's worthwhile. So the other problem is antitrust law would make it hard to get a private entity to own one database. Their high transaction costs, their patent thickness and holdouts. I think I'm near my end. Do I have 2 minutes? 3 minutes? 3 minutes. So I'm going to skip a little bit about this. Here are a couple of examples of where you can have had private data restrictions. The trade aspects of intellectual property restrictions, clinical triadatal use for generic competitors of drug firms, and the people who produce clinical trial data did this to protect their own interest. The problem is, aside from the commercial issues of who should be able to make money from drugs, there are public health risks when you don't have that information out, and we're seeing a lot of them. And those same kind of things are going to come out with clinical data from patient records. People often say there's a tragedy of the commons. If you have a public sector, you won't have the investment. There's a whole literature on that. My old colleague at Indiana, when I was at Indiana, Eleanor Ostrin, has talked about some of the limits of that. But we have the tragedy of the anti-commons with private ownership. Heller and others have written about it. If you make things too private, you may fracture ownership. And this happens a lot with high tech and in patents and the like. The cost of acquiring rights from all the patents limits downstream uses, and the same kind of things can happen with data. So that's basically my key point. I just want to say a couple things of privacy. Do you have 1 minute? 2 minutes. I'm going to do it in one. A lot of people say, well, if it's public, that means everyone will have access to it, and what about my privacy? And there's no doubt privacy is a problem with patient data, certainly if you have access to the original record. But the issues are a little less if they're de-identified or anonymized, but it's not, you're not home free, because we found that you can go back and really sometimes with other databases check and combine. But the problem is, those problems exist whether the data is privately owned or owned by different groups, or if it's in a public database or publicly available. And they're happening today. And the insurers, the hospitals, and HIPAA, all these others, allow sharing this data. The private access doesn't protect privacy. So right now under HIPAA, you can share data with drug firms, insurance companies, marketing firms, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's about as big a loophole as you can get for privacy risks, I think. And And so those are real risks, but let's not say the problem is it's because it's public or it's private. We need to put in measures to protect privacy. Now, some people think you can get a market in data and give individual ownership interest to everyone's medical record. And I think that that actually can lead to even more problems because you might then lose your rights once it's sold to a second person and the like. And I don't think it's workable. But there are privacy advocates that think if you make it privately owned, that will work. And so that takes me to the end of the talk, and I hope I've provoked some objections, comments.
Very good, thank you. Is there a clarifying question? For those of us who have been working on these types of things, I think that what we're finding, as you point out, that when HIPAA was written, it was a different world, a different time, a different place, and a different even imagination of what's available. I see one question, so I'll say my comment. But I think that what we're seeing today, Claudia's framework, the IOM framework, helps us to think about the big picture of where we can go and what we can achieve. I think Dr. Rodwin's presentation shows us that there's a lot to do between the world of today and the world of tomorrow. But I think we're going to also hear about what we're already doing.